Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian, we always appreciate your time. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, gosh, you're going back. Now, I'm old school. I go back to one like The Magnificent Seven, Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen, and Western of all time.
Yeah, that's a real guy's guy movie, too. I'm not surprised to hear you say that. So since you're jumping in where we were talking about Bears gadget plays, with the game tied Sunday, Matt Nagy decides to give the ball to his 330-pound defensive tackle. It's a touchdown, but philosophically, you good with that call?
Sure. You know, the only time to really use a trick play of substance, of real value, is when you probably shouldn't do it. You know, it's easy to run an onside kick or a fake reverse, whatever, when the game's not on the line. But when it really matters, if you're going to have it in, you ought to be able to use it or want to use it in a critical time.
See, that's fascinating because there's a risk component there, but that's what made the Philly special in the Super Bowl such a great call, right? Is that Super Bowl on the line and you're able to go to it.
Yeah, your trick plays are one of two things. They're either you just kind of put something in because it's kind of fun and freshens up practice, and you really don't know that you're going to use it, and you're certainly not going to use it at a critical time. Or you have a very real, and it's only a trick play because it's unique in its style or who you're using to run it. But you're doing it for a very specific reason. It's not just that, gee, this will be, you know, kinky, let's do this. I mean, it actually has a specific purpose, and obviously they did.
I'm hopeful that we are putting all Bears-Giants conversation in the rearview mirror after this interview, Danny. It's just like we're ready to get on to Rams week. That was such an ugly one, and we're hopeful that Brian Mitch Trubisky will play this week against the Rams. All things being equal, if he does, what do you believe to be most critical from our guy's standpoint here?
Well, you saw the kind of template, if there is one. I mean, that Rams offense is so spectacular. They do so many things. Like any good offense, the best thing you can do is kind of keep the ball away from them. And obviously running the ball well, turning the ball over is going to be huge, and getting turnovers. You know, we've talked for years about explosive plays and turnovers and that differential. I think the turnover differential, not only from the standpoint you can't afford to give that great offense of the Rams a short field, but you have to, you know, you've got to give your offense at least one short field, maybe two, if you think you're going to keep up with that really good Rams offense.
So not turning the ball over, definitely that matters in every game. And this was the first Bears game that they lost the turnover differential all season, the loss to the Giants. But schematically, you mentioned the template. What is replicable from what the Cowboys defense did to the Saints offense that maybe the Bears defense can do to the Rams offense?
Well, I went back and looked at the tape to do a segment for Playbook, that front seven of the Cowboys was impressive. I mean, you talk about how good the offensive line can be for the Cowboys, and they run the ball, and they've added Amari Cooper to give them that one-on-one element when you go to stop the run of Ezekiel Elliott. Their defense, although it's been playing very well, kind of went under the radar until you really look at the film. That front seven was dominating, and they played very well together. Their stunts and pressures, very well orchestrated. They played as a unit, very, very physical. Vander Esch is that young linebacker from Boise State. He's something special. So this defense is for real. And obviously, and it was a stunning win. I don't know that anybody would have looked at it, thought that New Orleans was going to struggle the way it did against the Cowboys defense. You know, you that template of run the ball, don't turn the ball over, and play good physical defense, particularly on third down. Yeah, it's a template that'll work for anybody.
Yeah, and I love, too, when a team maximizes 3.3 yards per rush. That's what Ezekiel Elliott had. But every time he's carrying the ball for 3.3 yards, Drew Brees doesn't have it. And you talk about the Bears keeping the ball away from the Rams. There were some teams that did it very successfully over the weekend. Your Ravens hogging the ball for almost 40 minutes against the Falcons was a thing of beauty from my standpoint. But I still don't know, Brian, if we can take a team like the Ravens seriously. Can we?
No, I think you can. You know what? The game this weekend between Baltimore and Kansas City is fascinating because this is good versus evil, old versus new, cat sleeping with dogs. I mean, this is apocalyptic because you have the ultimate and great defense, and they're playing great defense, running the ball in a way that few teams can duplicate because you got Lamar Jackson doing what he's doing, even though they really have no passing offense with him in, against this high-powered, high-flying Kansas City Chiefs offense. And can you keep up? Or can you run that formula that we saw with the Dallas-New Orleans game to the degree where if you don't turn the ball over, you run it and hold on to possession. You play great defense, and they will play great defense against Kansas City, now all but on the road. This is going to be a fascinating game to see, you know, if that formula indeed can make the difference.
Is what Lamar Jackson doing right now, is that sustainable in terms of staying healthy and running this much?
No. And it's not sustainable in terms of winning either. At some point, you've got to win from the pocket. And he may. He may evolve to that. We haven't seen any signs of it yet, but that doesn't mean he can't evolve into it. They've played three very poor defenses. They've ran a very good formula to get the win. He's been brilliant in terms of what he's been able to do to run the ball. But they've got to get more from him throwing down the field if you're going to beat the really good teams or get into and progress through the playoffs.
The Steelers are hanging on to a lead in that division, and they've struggled offensively these last few weeks, and they're not staying committed to ground and pound when Ben's not right. I don't know what the problem is there, but what do you think is going wrong with the Steelers?
Well, what was hard to see was, you know, they've struggled at times, but usually on the road. Ben has been, you know, bad on the road a fair amount, but at home he's been pretty darn good. And it was a great game. I don't think we can take anything away from the San Diego Chargers. I think it told us a little bit more about San Diego. And we know that Pittsburgh can be up and down. You just don't know at a given time. Can they sustain it? But I think that told us a little bit more about the Chargers, particularly when the game looked like it was going to be out of control and it was going to be done on the road and, you know, the West Coast, East Coast. And much has been said when they didn't pick up the procedural, the tackle moving, and they got the touchdown out of it. Yeah, had they not gotten that touchdown, could that have changed the tenure of the game? But I think you've got to give San Diego a great deal of credit for winning, particularly on the road against Pittsburgh. And tells us as much about them as it does Pittsburgh.
Sure, I agree. Melvin Gordon absent too. Big win for Anthony Lynn and the Chargers. Absolutely.
Brian Billick from the NFL Network is our guest. If you had to pick one, who has the best defense in the NFL?
Boy, it's hard to go away from the Ravens defense. Now, I'm obviously biased in terms of my background that way, but they're pretty darn good. That front four, and I can't believe, you know, Dan Quinn's a good coach, but on a fourth and one, you try to run a dive down the middle of that race, I'd fire my coordinator on the spot. I mean, yeah, that's just, have you not looked at the film? Do you not look at what they have, that interior of the defensive line? You build great defenses from the inside out. Right now, Baltimore's looking pretty darn good. The only niche that they don't have, the only thing, the only qualifier is, as good as that defense is, they have not generated a lot of turnovers. So that's the one thing when I look at that and say, well, if you're going to give a nod to maybe somebody else, defense, like the Bears are obviously a team that would certainly be in that conversation. From what I'm now seeing in Dallas, that was a spectacular, and particularly against when you look at the caliber of opponent you're talking about. There's some pretty good defenses out there. But as we talked about before, I think the register of a great defense nowadays is not the statistics, it's how many turnovers do you get.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep the bullseye on the chest of Steve Sarkisian, the coordinator for the Falcons, Dan Quinn's guy. They have done less with more than any team in football. I know they lost a running back early, but I am baffled how you get a former MVP just a couple of years ago, and the skill they have at wide receiver, and Austin Hooper's a pretty decent tight end, and they can't put points on the board week after week.
Yeah, as a team, you know, the injuries, and those are real. Their defense is just a shadow of what it was coming into the season. I really thought they were going to be an outstanding team, not because you knew they had a good offense, but it was because defensively they had worked their way up to being a top 10 team last year. I thought they could be a top 5 team. Well, they just got decimated, and that's going to happen. I mean, you lose that many players defensively, it's going to be tough to stay competitive. But so that puts a lot of pressure on the offense and Matt Ryan and the way he's had to force the ball down the field. And when they lost the running back and they lost some offensive linemen, I mean, injuries do make a difference. But you're right, they just haven't been able to seem to piece it together or have a real definitive, coherent offensive personality given the talent that they have.
Who should the Packers hire?
Wow. You know, the list of guys that will want to get in line to be Aaron Rodgers' coach is pretty substantial. You know, he's a pretty that's a pretty good starting point. But the job is available because not because Mike McCarthy's not a good coach or there's something wrong with Aaron Rodgers, because they're not very good. They don't have a lot of good players right now. And so that's going to be job one. You got to wrap some players around Aaron Rodgers. You got to be better on defense. So they've got a lot of work to do. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Green Bay franchise is such an iconic franchise. They reached out to one of their former owns when they got Mike McCarthy. They didn't necessarily go with the big name. And that would kind of go contrary to what Green Bay does. You know, although firing Mike McCarthy in season, I think, was very unpacker-esque. So it'll be interesting to see the direction they go with this.
Who gets your vote for coach of the year, Brian? We've asked you that a time or two, but I think it's been a couple of weeks, and it does change as weeks go by.
Yeah, it does. I mean, obviously, look at the top of the league, and it's hard not to go with guys like McVay and Andy Reid and Sean Payton, and, of course, Bill Belichick can be in that conversation, you know, all the time. But, you know, there's just, you know, it's like, okay, who's the, other than the top runners, let's talk about the teams. Who's going to be the surprise team that steps into it? Well, you could kind of say the same thing. Okay, there's the obvious guys at the top in terms of coach of the year, but obviously Nagy is going ought to get some consideration for that from where they're coming from, what they've had to do. And I think he's a legitimate candidate to be talked about. Obviously, you got to get to the end of the season. But the way, you know, to me, it's where they came from as opposed to a team that you kind of knew was going to be good going into it.
Brian, you know, I've been pretty hard on Mike McCarthy, and some people think that the game has passed him by schematically. And so I don't know why you'd want to give like a young quarterback like Baker Mayfield. A lot of people are talking about him going to Cleveland. What is it that maybe I'm missing about Mike McCarthy that so many people, and you're among them, that are defending him and saying, you know what, he is still a really good coach? I know he was, but they won a long time ago. I'm curious why you think he still is a really good coach.
Because he's a really good coach. To think that the game has passed by, I'm not buying into that. You know, when you're there at some place as long as you are, and the old idea, you know, the Bill Walsh, you can't be there more than 10 years, it gets stale and everything about that. Obviously, there's something to that. Mike McCarthy's a good coach. Yes, there's a certain style or a rhythm you get into. You can hire another coach other than the Mike McCarthy for a lot of different reasons, but you're not going to get a better coach than Mike McCarthy. He's proven it. He's had sustained success. Like I said, the problem they've had in Green Bay is not Aaron Rodgers, and it's not the scheme. They don't have any good players to go offensively. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers, and you kind of fool yourself to think we're always going to be good as long as we have Aaron Rodgers. But you got to be able to wrap people around it. So that you know, and I would be shocked if Mike McCarthy doesn't get another job.
We know that you do a lot of work with X-Tech shoulder pads. That's a dangerous game. Why are these the shoulder pads people need to know about?
Yeah, we got to protect our players. And taking the head out of the game, X-Tech pads, it's the next step in protection for our players. They got the XRD technology, which is a foam dispersion of the hits. I'm in New York right now kind of making the rounds and talking about X-Tech pads. And it's, you know, every team in the National Football League uses them. Top programs in college, over 400 colleges, Ohio State, Michigan State, just across the board. I mean, Notre Dame, these guys know this is how to protect the players available to high school players now, and it's the next wave of protection for our young players.
Brian Billick from the NFL Network. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk
soon.
Sounds great.
We'll see you.
He's at Coach Billick on Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.